que mes titres ni j'ai fait. Elle va me dire de lui leur frère ou à pas mes chambres.
Nah, definitely you have to thank God. Thank God. Thank God. That's the message from the late Green, who featured a mommy on this track as late, as far back as 2009. That was when this record came out from his album, Chief Executive Omota. Yes, talking about the late Green. And of course, the message is clear. Thank God. And I'm thanking God this wonderful day to see another day and another evening right here to actually be the one to drive the show because Samuel Samwine has been doing so in recent times. Shout out to you, Samo Samwine. And of course, right about now, it's Overdose right here. Okoroji Chidozie Jephthah saying, in whatever situation you find yourself, all you need to do is thank God. Thank God for life. Thank God for friends. Good friends. Of course, not the ones who betray. Thank God for, you know, the ability to eat. Some people want to take their bath. They can't do that because they need somebody to help them. You know, some people can't breathe right now because they have breathing problems. So there's this oxygen that they have to attach to their nose for them to breathe. But you are not like that. I'm not like that. So why not thank God? Why not just spare that moment and say thank you, Almighty God, for making sure that, yes, throughout the years, I'm alive, I'm healthy, and I'm really raring to go. Yes, I'm raring to go, literally, right here in the studios of 99.3 Nigeria Info. And I say welcome to everyone listening to the sound of my voice right now. It's a throwback Thursday. That's why I had to bring this song. And of course, it's all about thanking God. But then again, the latest going down in the world of sports, Erling Haaland is UEFA Men's Football Player of the Year 2023. And of course, his second award in just a couple of days. You remember he won the PFA award right there in England. This time, Europeans Men Player, UEFA Men's Player of the Year. You wonder if he will get the Ballon d'Or. I will be looking at his chances, although a whole lot of people say it's Lionel Messi. It's Lionel Messi for the Ballon d'Or. But hey, let's watch and see. Meanwhile, the US Open is going on. Carlos Alcaraz and, of course, Novak Djokovic. They're the main man on the hot seat right now. Now, when I say hot seat, I'm not saying that, you know, they really have to win or they have to, you know, go all the way. But then again, they are the men that a whole lot of people are looking at. They are the favorites, so to speak. But who would you fancy more to win the US Open this year? Do you think Carlos Alcaraz can retain his title? Or will Novak Djokovic, who's gone back to the number one ranking, of course, he's now the number one man, pardon me, by virtue of his victory over Zapata Mirales in three straight sets, 6-4, 6-1, 6-1. He wasn't down on that, talking about flushing meadows last year, talking about Novak Djokovic because he refused to be vaccinated. But now he's eligible and he's looking to win a Grand Slam title. Well, of course, I don't know. Record chasing Novak Djokovic. Should have done it to Wimbledon, but then Carlos Alcaraz was his Achilles heel. And the man, the 19-year-old, stopped Novak Djokovic from winning the Wimbledon championship. Can he do it again this time around? Or you think the joke maker, who is currently 36 years of age, can actually take that one? And I'm talking about the U.S. Open title. We'll also look at Liverpool. Mo Salah seems to be interested in moving to Saudi Arabia. And, of course, his coach has been speaking, saying it's really not good that the Saudi guys, despite the fact that the transfer window will be closing this Friday, the Saudi guys will still be flexing their cash. They'll be flexing their financial muscles. And the UEFA president, talking about the man called Seferin, says the Saudi Pro League is not a threat. Do you agree with him? We'll look at that as well and also look at the transfer window. Brighton set to sign Ansu Fati, a man who was once given a number 10 jersey at Barcelona, and a whole lot of people thought he would follow in the footsteps of Lionel Messi, but right now he will be signing for Brighton. Also, Alex Iwobi is said to be signed by Fulham. Is that a step up or a step down? We'll look at that as well, and also other things going down. But we'll start off from the home front, where The man called Kenneth Omero is talking about the national team, and he's saying, please give us a stable technical crew. Give us a stable technical crew. You guys have been changing technical crews from Eguavon to Kenneth Roth to Eguavon to Pesero. And now you guys want to change Pesero again. Why? Why are you doing that? Oh, look at that. But then again, not before I welcome the guys joining me on the broadcast tonight. And I'll start with the gentleman to my right. Yes, talking about Faji's head of content. Any content that you see on the Faji handle on Faji, he's actually the brain behind it. Chuma Nnali, a.k.a. El Raimero. Raimero, what's going on now? How you doing? Good to see you again.
Same here too, of a dose. And when you mentioned that song from Da Green dropped in 2009, I was like, Jesus, that was 14 years ago.
Yeah,
man.
2009.
Oh boy, I still remember the song like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Again, we all still remember how unfortunately Da Green lost his life. But it's great to be here, man. And many times it's important for us to remind ourselves. I don't want to say the good old days, because if we keep saying the good old days, it means that things will keep getting worse. But it's good to remind ourselves of these moments years back and where we were and where we are now, so we can even be more grateful for our respective lives and all that. So happy to be here, man. 2 hours of undiluted fun.
Well, yeah, 2 hours of undiluted fun, no doubt. Adesi Michael is also here. Talking about the lady who loves to break things down as well. And she's raring to go, I believe. Adesi Michael, how are you?
Are you sure I'm raring to go?
You say Omo.
Are you sure?
I didn't expect that. What do you mean by Omo?
Are you sure I'm raring to go?
Yeah, I can see it in you.
I'm exhausted to the bare bones.
Are you serious?
I'm just coming from the mainland. I've been in the mainland all day. And I had to like tell my rider, and I'm like, guy, do you know Max Verstappen? He said, no, but you said, really, what's happening? He said, I'm fired down. I know I'll come reach this studio, go and explain for overdose. I feel explain tired. No evidence to tell you where I went. I know what to watch, shall I? Guy, fired down. I just found myself on the island. I'm looking so exhausted, but we have to do what we have to do.
Definitely, man. We do have to do what we have to do.
It's about the Champions League.
Yeah.
For people when their club, not the Champions League.
No, what do you mean? I was coming to that. What do you mean?
I've been warned.
Don't do that.
Let's go.
Don't do that. Well, Romelu Lukaku is now a player of Roma. He's joined Roma on loan, definitely. And he'll be looking to, you know, do well under that manner. Talking about Jose Felix Mourinho. We'll also talk about whether or not it is a good move for Romelu Lukaku. As well as other stories making the rounds in the world of sports, football to be precise. But let's start off with Kenneth Omero. And now Kenneth Omero has been speaking, and he's been speaking about the fact that the technical crew of the Super Eagles is really giving him concern because it's not stable. And it's also affecting the quality of the team to a very large extent. Remember, Nigeria will be playing during the international break. And of course, the man has said he will be looking to see if the Nigerian Football Federation can just make things, especially the coaching, you know, aspect, can just make it stable for the team. Well, Super Eagles defender Kenneth Omero has expressed his dissatisfaction over who will be in the dugout for Nigeria's last qualifier in September. That's which it starts tomorrow, by the way. Yeah, September is just here. Before you know now, December don't come. Well, 2023 going down fast. But then the 29-year-old says it's crazy that the Nigerian team is void of a manager ahead of a game as Jose Pesero's contract expired in May. As it stands, there seems to be a halt in negotiations between the NFF and the Portuguese over a possible contract extension. Now, the Casipasa defender made his dissatisfaction known. And, of course, he said, when it comes to players, well, of course, you already know that Nigeria have plenty of players. We have them in quantum. We have them excess. And he says we have amazing talent. Even those that are on the bench in the national team go to their club sites and score goals week in and out. We need to have a stable technical crew. A technical crew will take us to where we are supposed to be and give us exactly what we get in Europe. We do not even know who will be the coach in the next game. It is crazy and it has to be fixed. The Super Eagles will play Sao Tome and Principe at a Goodwill Akpabio Stadium in Uyo on the 10th of September in their last group game for the African qualifiers, talking about to the AFCON, the Africa Cup of Nations, which will be held in Cote d'Ivoire next year. The results will, however, have no meaning for Nigeria's qualification chances, as the Super Eagles have since qualified following their win against Syria alone in June. But then again, he also adds that it's affecting the national team. When you look at other countries, the national coaches there have been with them for a while. But right now, he says, today you have this coach, tomorrow you have another coach. And as it is, we don't even know who's going to coach the Super Eagles in that game. Adesi Michael, I'll start with you quickly. What do you have to say about this, really? In all honesty, do you think he really has a strong point, or is it just, okay, coach comes in, and after all, these players are professionals, they know what to do, they've been in their club sites, or you feel that the lack of a stable technical crew is hampering the progress of the national team?
Well, it's a big factor that could hamper the progress of the national team. Take, for instance, first off, we started in 2021 AFCON, when the... First, the errors have always... I think this managerial thing with the Super Eagles of Nigeria have been a bit embarrassing. This morning, Chuma and I were on the sports drive. An issue popped up with Pesero Ultimatum 3 days. I couldn't say anything. I told him, let's move on. I couldn't say anything. Normally, I lack words. It's a big shame. We sacked Genetrol. The timing was flawed. You see, that would have allowed him to take us to the AFCON, or would have sacked him long ago. And then we try to mumble something. Hey, Emenike, oh, you're drafting. Do you know Pep Guardiola? Oh, you're drafting. Oh. Boom, 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 bam. Ah, first three games, you won. My people. Then after that one, okay, Pesero was already waiting in the wings, so remember. But we were not so even confident that whether he's going to continue or not, whether he's going to... Eventually, after so much back and forth, Pesero came on board. Pesero is here now. Still, we're not satisfied with Pesero. And now, are you supposed to... Has any federation in the world that runs football come out openly to give a coach an ultimatum for 3 days to accept? If you want him to take a pay cut, you call him in a meeting and say, this is what I want, this is what we want. And then the outcome is what you release to the press. If he refuses, you will now say, ah, he refused to take a pay cut. But you're coming publicly to tell... That means you guys are confused. That's what it means. And I'm happy like that a senior player like Kenneth Omeru has come out, all right, to speak about something. Longevity, consistency is the key. Look at Senegal. Their coach, the legends, Ali Cisse. He was there for a long time, even during the failure and all that.
Yeah.
And eventually paid off. They're the defending champions. And one of the favorites again to go all the way to as far as the final. So you can't keep changing now. It's almost time for AFCON. AFCON! But tomorrow is September. AFCON is 12 weeks away. 12 weeks away. By the time you wake up in the morning, or for those who are already here shouting, Cameroon and Zambia is a goal. Time flies so quickly. I was still here 3 months talking about overdose. It's a shame. It's a big picture, and I'm really disappointed. Even the women's category, nobody knows if Wardrum is going to be there or not. Next month, the women's Olympic qualifiers, you know, starts. So will Wardrum stay or not? I mean, the way we manage communication, please, where is the squad for the people that will play the South Tomé and Príncipe game? It's not out. It's not out, and it's just a few days. There's no communication anywhere. And then, first of all, there's a strategy they do that is so annoying. Then, first of all, they will throw out the kite of what they want to do. If there's a backlash, they will say, oh, the public don't want it. If then, if nobody's saying anything, they will just go ahead with the decision. Why? Well, now I'm hearing Finidi George combination. I'm hearing another person coming on board. I'm hearing Salisu Yusuf again. Why do we keep recycling coaches? If you want to go for coach, go for coach. Allow him to do the job. Stop owing them salary. Run football properly in Nigeria. It is not a joke. It is now pure business. It's not even a leisure. So overdose. I mean, Omero just reminded us of something that we already know, that this board and even the past one are inept. They're not good enough.
All right, Chuma, I'll come to you quickly to actually, you know, have your say on this one. Because Kenneth Omeru says it's crazy, in his words, that we don't have a stable technical crew. And of course, just like Ada said, we keep changing coaches. How do we go around this, especially with the short time left towards the AFCON?
Well, honestly, it's a tough place to be, and that's the reality. I think we should have learned a lesson building up to that 2021 Africa Cup of Nations. The fact that Genaro was let go a few months before the competition, and I kept saying I thought that we should have known already that Raw, you know, was dwindling as to his quality and perhaps should have never given him that contract extension. And then Amaju Pinnick and his NFL board decided to extend the contract only to let Raw go a few months before the AFCON. And we know what we suffered from that. We did not just get knocked out in the second round of the AFCON by Tunisia. We failed to qualify for the World Cup, which may not have been the case if we had had a manager around the place. Again, I somehow want to understand where this current NFL board are coming from, right? They are not the ones who appointed Jose Peseiro. They inherited Peseiro as coach of the Super Eagles, and they also have to build a brand for themselves so that if mistakes are made, they can take responsibility and say, hey, we're the ones who appointed Overdose, and so if he fails, hold us responsible, and not a case of, well, Overdose was appointed before we came, so if he fails, there's nothing we could do. And that's why I understand where they're coming from. Is the timing perfect? Timing not the best of times in the world, Overdose. I think that we've seen enough examples of how we have succeeded as a nation, you know, when Clement Westerhoff won all of those great things with Nigeria. He was there from, you know, the 1990 experience. We finished second in the Nations Cup in 1990. He took us to the 92 Nations Cup. We won bronze in that. They didn't sack him. He remained with the side and then took us to the echelon of success in 1994 in USA at the World Cup when we were ranked number five.
Even before the World Cup, Tunisia,
you know, beating Zambia and the AFCON, to win the Nations Cup that year. So that's what patience brings to you. And like I playfully say every time, patience brings good luck with or without Jonathan, you know. So just be patient and good luck comes with it sometimes, many times as the case is. So that's it. But that's not been the story for the Super Eagles, unfortunately, in recent times. I think that we gave Gano Raw time, right? But when he thought that, okay, I took you guys to win bronze in the 2019 AFCON, give me a chance to go to 2021 AFCON, it never happened for him. And he was let go before the competition, which was a problem. And where we are now is a tough place. You know, it's a tough place. I don't want to just point fingers on this NFF board and say, now they cause wahala. Because like I said, they just came in. And they also have to have their own blueprint. We know they're going to be appointing managers for the age grade national teams. So it's understandable if they want to build something. The next World Cup is in 2026. They should still be in charge by that World Cup. After then is when we're going to be talking about second term or otherwise. So the solution as regards your question of a dose. Those would be, because this thing they even tire person to talk about sometimes, will be, you know, stick around with Peseiro, make we finish this Nations Cup first, I beg, because you don't reach already in January. So let's just wrap this thing up. So we're not going to go around circles like we did when we made the mistake in 2021. After that AFCON, there'll be time before the next big thing. There's going to be 2 years before the next AFCON. There's going to be, you know, 2 years again before the next World Cup in 2026, and then they can rebrand. For now, though, I think it's too late to want to swap roles for Jose Peseiro with any other manager.
All right, let's go to the phone lines right now. We still have 2 minutes thereabout to take your calls before the ad break comes. So let's feel your thoughts. Meanwhile, you can drop your messages on a WhatsApp 08095975805. The number again on WhatsApp 08095975805. But let's hear from you. 0700-993-993-993 on, of course, phone lines for the men, for the ladies, 01465-7190. Hello, good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening, Jeff Okoroji.
Yes, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir.
What's your name?
Good evening, guys in the studio.
Good evening, welcome.
Welcome.
You know, one of the problems Nigeria have...
You didn't tell us your name.
This is Good Luck. I'm calling from Shagamo this evening.
All right, Good Luck. Go ahead.
One of the problems Nigeria have is continuity. Now, with the boss, we're supposed to talk what's going to happen. They should allow this guy to take Super Eagles to Nations Cup, and whatever decision they want to take, then they should take it after the Nations Cup. This changing of coaches here and there, I don't understand this country at all. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much. It says, allow Peseiro. Hello.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening to you. How are you doing?
Yeah, good evening, Overdizu.
I greet you.
Kimalisi and Adeze. Good
evening.
Welcome. Good evening.
Yeah, my name is Gabriel Joel, calling you from Lekki.
All right, Gabriel, welcome. Let's hear you.
Overdizu, like Chuma said, you see, patience is our problem. See, let me tell you one coach that will have viewed us a team today, that we have seen today. Should I tell you that, coach?
That's a Vega. Wow.
Overdose. Sam Fisiasia will have viewed us a team that will be proud of today. Oh, it's for the past 8 years now, or 10 years, thereabouts.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that's the only one coach.
Sam Fisiasia.
Yes.
Okay.
But they didn't allow him because of impatience. Mm. Everybody wants to show. This one will come in, want to show himself. This one, why do we always like to show power? Mm. Why? Do you know why?
Why?
So I don't know. Maybe Schumann. No, I don't know.
Mm. All right. Thank you so much. It says we like to show power or flex our muscles when it comes to things like this. I think I'll take one more call before I go pay the bills. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, is Akigwe on the line?
You have 20 seconds.
Okay. If you people are really in tune with the sport, they should run open policy by now. Hmm. Once the money released, so the people in charge to pay the athlete or the coach, it should be publicized. Mm. That's also a matter I'll be giving out.
Okay.
And the evidence should be there that it is truly given out for the Minister of Sport and Culture. Is that not where they get the money?
Hmm.
Okay. So, and even then they solicit money on the outside, the person who gave out the money should also be publicized. And the person they hand out the money to should be publicized.
Mm.
Because it is all of the NFA, they put the money in the bank for years before they could pay the owner.
All right.
So it's not a one-man show now.
Mm.
So you people should make an underground investigation and underground secret opening. A month is enough to pay somebody who has labor with great sweat.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you so much for your contribution. But then again, we're asking, what do you think, should be done in terms of making sure that we have a stable technical crew? The NFF, of course, still looking to see whether or not they will retain Jose Peseiro, whose contract has since expired. But then Kenneth Omero has come out to say, we should have a stable team. We should have a technical team that is stable. Look at Senegal, like Adesi Michael said. They still have Ali Cisse. He's been with them for close to 6 years now.
Even the Algerian manager, what's that his name? That won the 2019 AFCON.
Belmadi.
Belmadi.
Yes.
Yeah, Belmadi. He was with them for like an extended period before they won, and then he had to part ways. But there's something about consistency. There's something it brings to a coaching crew.
Mm.
We just cannot, when you want to appoint a coach, don't appoint a coach that you are not sure of. So that 6 months into the job, you already started thinking of, he may not be good for us. So it shows that you didn't do your homework well. It shows ineptitude at the highest level.
All right, well, we're going to short break right now. When we come back, more concerning this one. Stay here. Yeah, we have the ginger right here, 99.3 Nigeria Info. But then in life, you don't always get what you want. It's not because it's not there. Sometimes you just don't get it. And that's the rule of life, you know. My niece the other day was asking me if she could take the ice cream in the fridge. And I said, no, you can't, because it's 11 p.m. and you can't take it, you know. If it was during the day, yes, you could take it. But that is because I don't love her, but, you know, you can't take ice cream that late at night. Not when you're a four-year-old. Nah, it's not possible. But anyways, welcome back. Anyways, it wasn't about ice cream. Welcome back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. I still have Chuma Noli right here, as well as Adeze Michael, who's still owing me a plate of food, by the way. She doesn't want to give me. I don't know why.
Come chop now. Make
us see. I don't know why.
Nothing for you, but nothing,
but you can hear her Lagos.
The offer was there.
She's being.
Before we revisit that case, maybe next year.
Next year. Yeah. All right. Well, we're still talking about the NFF, and someone disagrees with you talking about the NFF and
The
technical crew, yeah. Not the caller. You know, the person disagrees with Chuma Noli. He says, isn't the new NFF president part of the previous NFF board? What is the talk of they just came? Okere George from Ibejulekki. So he's saying, despite the fact that, I mean, Gusau was just appointed as the new NFF president, he was part of the system. You know, he knew these things. He knows these things. So you shouldn't use that excuse of, oh, we just came on board. No. But then again, that's his contribution. Thank you very much on WhatsApp. This one says, Emmanuel from Ikorodu, to me why Nigeria football is not progressing is from the NFF, because of their politics, not only in government but also in football, which causes so many things in our football in terms of coaching and performance in sporting activities and many other more. God will help Nigeria. Thank you so much. This one says, last what? Overdose, I disagree with that caller that said Siasia would have been the best. Coaching goes with a lot of things, e.g. charisma, confidence, boldness, and etc. These and others Muhammad Ali possessed to defeat George Foreman in 1974. He even carried boxing enter. Okay. In Zaire. I think that was a rumble in the jungle. Okay, especially charisma. George couldn't look at his face. They should look for a local coach with these qualities or a first-class foreign coach. Ochonogo Samson. All right, thank you very much, Ochonogo Samson. I remember at some point, one weekend, Samuel Adeze and David, you know, asking who's going to be the best coach. If you had a chance to appoint a coach for the Super Eagles, who will be the best coach to appoint? And some people went for Emmanuel Amunike, the former Nigerian international. But Chuma right now says, stick with Pesero, at least till after the Nations Cup. Adeze, who do you want the NFF to stick with before we move on the show?
Honestly, I really don't know right now, because their confusion is also confusing me.
Yo, you're confused.
Their confusion, exactly, is also confusing me. Choo. Looking at the time, looking at the timing, looking at all of the events that surround, and who is the capable replacement? It's not enough saying Pesero should leave. Who is the capable? Is it not the names that have failed in the past that will go and recycle? We want to give them the 10th chance. When you're not good, you're not good. This coaching thing is not for everybody. Just all like right. What we do here. Well, just like every other profession out there. When you're called, naturally flows. You don't have to force it. It's natural. When you are not called, you are not called. If you know day, no day. So I think for me, let Pesero just stay. Let him stay, you know. But it would appear that even our own players are having issues. They're not even stable in their own. In fact, problem, Okpo, overdose.
Okpo. He's plenty. Anyways, let's talk about the Champions League right now. The draws were held today, and Newcastle face a group of death on their return to Europe's top of the table competition. Man United handed a tough group as well. Then Bayern Munich, Arsenal also in your group. We'll give you the groups, but then Manchester City will have a straightforward Group G to negotiate alongside RB Leipzig, Red Star Belgrade, and Young Boys. Can you imagine? That's why they give Man City. Ah! Man United take on Bayern Munich, Copenhagen, and Galatasaray. I mean, Bayern and Man United should get through from that group. Last season, Premier League runners-up Arsenal were handed a comfortable draw against Europa League champion Sevilla, PSV Eindhoven, and Lens in Group B. On their return to the competition after a six-year absence. So here's what the groupings look like. In Group A, you have Bayern Munich, Man United, Copenhagen, and Galatasaray. In Group B, Sevilla, Arsenal, PSV Eindhoven, and RC Lens. In Group C, you have Napoli, Real Madrid, Braga, and Union Berlin in Group C. In Group D, it's Benfica, Inter Milan, FC Salzburg, and of course Real Sociedad. While in Group E, you have Feyenoord, Atletico Madrid, Lazio, and Celtic. In Group F, it's Paris Saint-Germain, Borussia Dortmund, AC Milan, and Newcastle. Wow, what a group. While of course in Group G, Manchester City, RB Leipzig, Red Star Belgrade, and Young Boys. And in Group H, it's Barcelona, Porto, Shakhtar Donetsk, and Royal Antwerp. Let's look at the group, guys. Newcastle United, what are their chances first of going past Paris Saint-Germain? Borussia Dortmund and AC Milan. Chuma, I can see you laughing. This, Eddie Howe, how will you navigate these teams? How manage? But definitely.
That's a way to say welcome back to the Champions League, bro. Again, it was always going to be very dicey for them as the only team from the Premier League that were in Pot 4 heading into the draw.
Yeah.
So as much as Manchester United and Arsenal were in Pot 2 and then Man City Pot 1, Newcastle should have thought about this reality, but not this difficult, though. It's a tough place to be. AC Milan have started the season well in the Italian Serie A. I know Olivier Giroud, for example, has been scoring goals aplenty. He's already scored 3 goals for them in just 2 match days in the Italian Serie A. And they look like a bunch who want to be in contention for the title. We saw them get to the semi-final stage of the competition last year. You think that because they still don't have the same manager and a bulk of the players who were with them last term, in addition to a few other good names, they look like a bunch who could build on that consistency for sure. And PSG, man, they're not defining these things since now Neymar has left, Messi has left. They're trying to get it right. They still don't have Mbappe in the mix and all that. And you think that every season that comes for PSG, they will believe that they should be one of the top favourites to win the competition. Now they had Luis Enrique, who's won the Champions League before as a coach in 2015 when he led Barca to win the treble. So it's a difficult place to be, you know, Eddie Howe. I know that he doesn't like his team playing anyhow, but it looks like how the Premier League season started for them, where they had to play some high-profile teams. They've already, in 3 match days in the Premier League, had to play Man City and Liverpool, and we've seen them lose those 2 games. So looks like it's the baptism of fire kind of for Newcastle. I feel that the team they can rub shoulders with on paper should be Borussia Dortmund, right? Who narrowly lost the Bundesliga title last season to Bayern on the final day of the campaign. But may Newcastle just risen to play Europa League. May they find a way to finish third so they'll enter Europa League, because honestly, it's going to take some miracle of momentous proportion. I know there's quality in the team, no doubt, but many of the players in that Newcastle team have not played Champions League football, and that could be the greatest undoing for them, facing off against an AC Milan and PSG setup who have experience in this competition.
Wow, let's look at Arsenal. Arsenal are in Group B, PSV Eindhoven. You look at PSV Eindhoven, Arsenal, not forgetting Sevilla and Lens. That's quite an easy one for them.
Oh, well, of course. It looks like they are very lucky with the draw, unlike Newcastle, that in hellfire already. But I think that they are very lucky. Like I said, the group is quite decent.
Yeah.
But Sevilla will give them headache. I can assure you that. Sevilla will give them headache. But I think that PSV Eindhoven, there are also no pushovers, believe me. Arsenal have met them before in the Europa League. It wasn't particularly what the fans expected. It was really, really tough for them.
Yeah, it was.
I think there is going to be a very good opportunity for Mikel Arteta to really test all of the monies he spent in the summer, all of the £200 million, the midfielders, the combination, because these days he's tried to tweak a lot of things in the Premier League. There's no second chance in the Champions League. It's quite brutal. It's very unforgiving. So he's going to test all of them, and then he's going to understand how very elaborate his squad is. I think for me, they have a really attacking-minded players like Bukayo Saka. We already know that one. But I think the main game I'm looking forward to, how do they face a Sevilla team? That's very tricky. We saw what they did to Man United home and away. Man United felt that they were going to like get it out. So I think Arsenal should get out of that group. Should get out of that. But nobody should be underestimated. Nobody. None of, from Lens to PSV to Sevilla, none of them, they must be able to, you know, show, what is it called now, some level of respect to their opponents. We saw how they've come up against a big side this season. That is Manchester City. And I think games like that could be a very big, you know, looking at the world, how they performed, Man City were going to run away with it, right, in the Community Shield. But I think they showed some level of physicality and combativeness, competitive edge, getting that equalizer, taking it all the way to the penalty. They've come a long way in terms of what Mikel Arteta is building. But look to see if they're going to top that group, because when you top the group, you have an easier route out of the round of 16. But if you allow Sevilla to topple you home and away, then that's where it becomes a problem. But I'd like to see how Arsenal fare in the Champions League, coming back for the first time in 8 years. I think they are quite lucky.
Unlike
Newcastle.
Well, they are quite lucky, unlike Newcastle. Real Madrid, who, of course, are the champions. Well, that was before Man City came into the picture. But they are, I think, 15-time champions now, Real Madrid?
14.
Oh, okay. I thought they actually won the last 2 seasons to make it 15. But 14-time champions, Real Madrid. You look at the fact that they are also in the running for the Champions League as well. And, of course, They'll be looking to see just what they can do. Real Madrid are in Group C alongside Victor Osimhen's Napoli. I'll be looking ahead to see just what he can do there. Talking about Victor Osimhen against Real Madrid, I'm sure if he does well, Real Madrid might just be looking to sign Victor Osimhen. So that's like an addition for him to go out there and make things happen. Braga and Union Berlin are the other teams. So, guys, let's break it down now. Bayern Munich, Man United, Copenhagen, and Galatasaray. Who are the top two coming out of that group for you, Ada?
Because it's Man United, you know, say, guys, let's break it down now.
No. All the groups. I'm looking at all the groups, not Man United. I mean, I'm not the one that told Chelsea not to qualify for the Champions League, despite spending huge. But if you don't want to break it down, Chuma, let's go. Group A. No time.
I think it's easy peasy, Bayern Man U.
Bayern Man U. What about Group B? Sevilla, Arsenal, PSV, and Lens.
Am I speaking like a free Lens now? Sevilla, Arsenal.
Lights on. Ada, Napoli, Real Madrid, Braga, Union Berlin.
Union Berlin have coconut head, really. If Napoli are not careful, Union Berlin will get out of that. But Real Madrid is a no-brainer. They're getting out of that group. They may start so slow, maybe not picking maximum points early on. But believe me, they're going to get out. But it's between Napoli and Union Berlin. Union Berlin have been cooking delicious meal in the last 2 years in the German Bundesliga. The confidence in that team is high-flying. They're well-drilled side, compact in shape. They don't give away too many options. So I feel like if Napoli are not careful, you know, Berlin will just, you know, get out of that group. But on paper, it looks like Madrid and Napoli.
But again, you look at Group D, Benfica and Inter Milan met last season in the Champions League group stage as well, alongside Barcelona and one other team. I can't remember now. But then again, they meet this time in the same group, but in Group D, alongside Salzburg and Real Sociedad. The two teams coming out of that one are there.
Salzburg, Real Sociedad, Inter Milan. This looks to me like a Europa League group. I'm sorry. I don't know how they found themselves.
I think Inter should progress.
Yeah, by the virtue of the experience they have and how they've gone about their business. But I feel
sunshine when she's gone.
There's sunshine here, please. Let's just finish this. There's sunshine here. The sun is shining here. This is not the sunny side. It came up, but the sun is shining. And that quickly.
So I think that Inter Milan and Benfica should be able to get out of there. Real Sociedad are without David Silva. He's retired because of knee injury, and they're just trying to build a new squad in the Spanish La Liga. They're not doing badly. On a very good day, they can also give opponents the kitten. But I feel like Benfica have come a long way in the Champions League. They've learned a lot of lessons. Last season, I think they got to the quarterfinal or so, or even semi-final. I can't remember. I think a quarter or semi. So the lessons they've learned from last season should take them all the way. Benfica.
All right, all the way. When we come back, we'll look at the remaining groups E, F, G, and H. And that's after this short break. Yeah, that's right. You're hanging out with the best team on the continent, if I dare say so myself. And yeah, I'm not just talking about any team. I'm talking about the best sports team right here in Nigeria and in Africa. 99.3 Nigeria Info. And of course, it's still game on right here with Femi and the gang. Overdose in good company of our Daisy Michael, whose prayer right about now is not a good one, I must tell you. She prayed for someone. I'm like, no, don't do that. Chuma Noli also is here. And we're doing this together.
I'm not talking anything.
No, you know me now. Me, I go talk. You know, I they blow whistle. Anyways, let's talk about the Champions League draws. We're talking about it just before. You know, we had to go pay the bills. So we've done A, B, C, and D, E, F, G, and H right here. In E, you have Feyenoord, Atletico Madrid, Lazio, and Celtic. Chuma, which teams do you think will go through from Group E?
Well, first off, Feyenoord would not have had this privilege of being in Pot 1 if Man City had not won the Champions League, because that's a slot for the team that were champions of England, as the case is. So they've gotten the nod, Feyenoord, and it's good for them. But I'm concerned. Lazio were the closest team to Napoli last season in the Serie A. May not have started like a house on fire this time, but something is telling me overdose that, first off, there's going to be Atletico Madrid progressing.
Yeah.
And I feel that Lazio will take the second slot from that group.
In Group F, Newcastle United, AC Milan, Borussia Dortmund, and Paris Saint-Germain. Adis Michael, Newcastle United. Do you think they can finish second?
Huh? against Borussia.
They have the quality. They have the players. They have the squad.
Newcastle,
in my opinion, no.
I think inexperience will be their own undoing. It's been 20 staggering years. A 20 years old man should be in the university. Not be today. Ah, I don't think now. Eddie Howe will now come up against coaches he doesn't really understand their philosophy. Yes, he has players that have played in the Champions League before. Kieran Trippier, Sandro Tonali is one of them, to mention but a few, you know, but it's a different kettle of fish. Borussia have been there, but Borussia's issue is usually when their kids don't turn up. You know, some days in football, you don't trust the kids. The kids will bring exuberance. The kids will bring energy and high intensity. But when it comes to those little fine margins that matter in football, the kids struggle. So that's my worry with Borussia Dortmund. They've really put faith in the kids, but most times it fails them when it really matters most. So that's my worry with Borussia. But for Paris Saint-Germain, it's a new look Paris Saint-Germain without the lazy, indisciplined players in that team. And Luis Enrique has come on, but we don't know how well they'll be fast enough to cope with what he exactly wants. So interesting times are ahead. And I look forward to PSG visiting St. James's Park. The noise. The fans have missed those glorious nights. Like I said, 20 years is a long time. So it's going to be a really tough battle for PSG to go to St. James's Park and pick something. Newcastle want to frustrate them. I think that's one of the games I should be looking out for when PSG comes to Newcastle.
So far, Daisy Michael, Newcastle will not make it out of that group. I don't know how she can say that about Eddie. But anyways, let's move on. Group G, Man City, you have Leipzig, Red Star Belgrade, and Young Boys. Chuma, that should be an easy one. Leipzig and Man City.
Yeah, I love the fact that you ran away from Zvezda, Zvezda.
Well, yeah, I don't like calling that name. Yeah, I don't like it.
And his Young Boys, the wicked producer, my brother. Just respect this guy. But it's easy peasy, like you mentioned. I think surely Man City will top that group. And then RB Leipzig, the onus is on them to ensure that they finish second best from the group.
Okay, Barcelona, Porto, Shakhtar Donetsk, and Royal Antwerp. Barcelona, but I don't know. Maybe Porto.
Oh, well, I think it's a tricky navigation for Barca. We've seen them also bottle up the Champions League. I don't know what their problem is. Probably the coach is the issue. Xavi, those nights underwhelm him. But I think Porto will be a tricky customer. The other teams, I don't think Barca should ride over them, really. Should ride over them.
G-Best from Ojokoro, finding trouble, says, good evening, guys. Overdose, you forgot to mention Group J. Liverpool, Giranvas, Kitayushu, Aimba International, and Corinthians.
You know, even our Chelsea for that group, Sefo.
maybe they're in Group K. Hi, Overdose. Adedeji from Ayobo. I laughed when... The reason why our football is not progressive or being retrogressive is simple. Our football administration... are the problems. They do not see football as big business. Until they start seeing football as a big business, that is when we would or could experience any positive changes. This one says, he continues with another message saying, I think Man City should just rest all their star players for all their opponents in their group and keep them for the next round and bring their academy players to prosecute all their group fixtures. What a cheap group. It's a roller coaster ride for them to the next round. All right, then. Good evening, Overdose. Man City has their group cut out for them. Man United will struggle a bit, but still qualify. Newcastle, it is well. And as for Arsenal, UEFA still can't believe that they are in the UCL and decided to bring Europa League to them. Fremi from Ikaja.